Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Helen Wealdon.
I'm just going to pray because it's always good to pray. Yeah, Father, thank you that your Holy Spirit is here. Thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to us. And Father, I pray that you would just come in your glory. Come, 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 Lord. We want you. We don't want it to be me. We want it to be you, Jesus. So I pray that you'd speak so clearly. Lord, that any words that are from me that would just drop to the floor and they won't even hear them, Father, and that you'd be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Excuse me. Right. Yeah, I was preparing for this for quite a few weeks and going, God, come on, speak to me. And he's going, just spend a bit of time with me. I'm like, okay. So anyway, during this week, God's been speaking to me just about the last 8 years, really. I'm going to share a bit of 8 years in a few minutes. But 8 years ago, I was married and I had a very small son. And I felt I had a good relationship with God, really. I spent time with him. I came to church. I was involved with lots of church things. And I would probably say, if somebody said, how's your relationship with God? I would say, yeah, it was all right. It's okay. It's all right. 7.5 years ago, my whole world was turned upside down and my husband left, which most of you will know, but I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it. Oliver was one at the time, and it was a really difficult time. Didn't really understand what was going on, how could this happen, etc., etc. But I've got to say that although I lost a husband and I lost what my normal was, I knew the Father heart of God like I've never known it before. And that's what I want to share with you today, is what God's done in me in the last 7 years and still doing now. There were many times when at the end of the day, Oliver was in bed and I was surrounded by piles of washing and things that still needed to be done. And I just spent some time with God in his presence, in worship, because that's my safe place. I used to be part of the worship team and I just knew how to worship, and that was the bit where I just came with God. And I just often found myself crying in his presence, because it was that healing process, you know, you just had to just let it out. And anyway, during those times, it was really special because God used to speak to me about future things and things I could hold on to. And sometimes I just blubbed away and I cried and had loads of tissues and thought, I hope nobody calls me or comes to the door because it's going to look terrible. But anyway, then there were the times where I was just sitting at his feet and he would just show me pictures. And there's just a couple of pictures I just want to share with you. And one of them has been a recent one, actually. It's a song, a Bethel song called God, I Look to You, I Won't Be Overwhelmed. And very often, even now, as a single parent, everything can be overwhelming. There's so much to do and to think about and to get ready and to prepare for. And so that's kind of my constant prayer, actually, every day, is, God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. It's a declaration. And the words are, God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see the things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. And during this song, Amanda Cook sings it, and then she goes into spontaneous worship and she says, I see you in the rain. And it's just a simple sentence, but she talks about how God's, although the rain's coming, is bringing new life. And it's powerful. Every time I worship with that, it's just, I just sense God's presence. But in my mind, I could see God with me. And I was probably about 5 or 6. I got really quite short hair when I was 5 or 6. So, and I just had this white sort of almost nightie on. It sounded a bit weird, but it was all right. And me and God both had wellies on. And it was raining. And this is how God speaks to me, guys. So I'm sorry if it sounds a bit simple. But, you know, it was dark, but there was plenty of light. And there was just rain coming down. But I wasn't worried about what I was going to get dirty. We just jumped around in the puddles. It was great. It was like so much fun. And we just like swung me around. Like I was only little, about 5. You know, when you have so much fun with your parents and you just don't care about the dirt. You don't care about the mud. You're just happy in your wellies, just jumping around, that kind of thing. And it was amazing. And every time I see that, I just sense this real peace, like God's there. And I'm just like, yeah, I want to be that, so intimate with God like that, you know. And then there's also a song called We Dance, another Bethel song. And again, God's shown me, again, the same similar picture, actually. I was a similar age, and he just danced with me like a dad dances with their little daughter. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't awkward or difficult, but it was just fun. We just danced, and he would pick me up and throw me around, and we had so much fun. And that's the way I am seeing God as my father. Before this all happened, I knew God as all-powerful, mighty God, and he is. But there's a side to him that I've seen more so in that difficult place of going through the rubbish, and him being so faithful. He's never ever let me down at all. And yeah, I wanted to look at the Father heart of God today. And in scripture, there are many different names that are used to describe God. And while all the names of God are important, the name Abba Father is one of the most significant names of God in understanding how he relates to us, his people. The word Abba is an Aramaic word that would be closely translated as daddy. It was a common term that young children would use to address their fathers. It means the close, intimate relationship of a father to his child, as well as the childlike trust that a young child puts in his or her daddy. And that really spoke to me of just, yeah, his Abba Father. He's the one that's so close, just like that. And God chose us. It says in Ephesians 1, verse 5, and before the world was made, God decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. This was what God wanted, and it pleased him to do it. It's a real life-changing revelation to understand the full force of what it means to be able to call God our daddy, isn't it? And it almost feels a little bit strange sometimes, because you almost feel like he's God, but he's daddy. Do you know what I mean? He's everything. Yeah, because of our relationship with God, we know he no longer deals with us as enemies. Instead, we can approach a holy God as our heavenly Father with boldness, with full assurance of faith. And in Hebrews 10:19-25 in the Message, it says, so friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. And in Romans 8:15-17, again in the Message, it says, this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. So I'm holding on to that. You know, the benefits of being adopted children of God are many. Becoming a child of God is the highest privilege and honor that we can imagine or have. And because of it, we have a new relationship with God and a new standing before him. He deals with his children differently than he deals with the rest of the world. Being a child of God, adopted through faith in Christ Jesus, is the source for our hope, the security for our future, and the motivation to walk worthy of the calling for which we are called. And in Ephesians 4, verse 1, in the easy-to-read version, because I like that one. I like easy to read. So, as a prisoner for the Lord, I beg you to live the way God's people should live, because he chose you to be his. So he chose you, guys. You're chosen. It wasn't that you were the last person in sports day, that you weren't picked to be the team. You were chosen. You were chosen. Yeah, being children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords calls us to a higher standard, a different way of life, and a greater hope. And as we come to understand the true nature of God, as revealed in the Bible, we should be amazed that he not only allows us, but even encourages us to call him Abba Father. It's amazing that a holy and a righteous God who created and sustains all things is the only all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God would allow us, sinful humans, to call him Daddy. As we come to understand who God really is and how sinful we actually are, the privilege of being able to call him Abba Father takes on a whole new meaning and helps us to understand his amazing grace. God chose us. We didn't earn our status as adopted children. Before he created the world, God knew the plan of redemption. In Ephesians, it says it's only by his grace that we have been made righteous. And it says in Ephesians 2, 7 to 10 in the message, now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. And it's only by his grace that God not only saved us, but then chose us and added us to his family. And when he brought us into his family, he gave us full rights. We're not viewed as guests, but as family. Therefore, God not only forgives us, but makes things known to us. He doesn't keep family secrets. Rather, he reveals his plan for our lives to us, in as much as we can handle at the right time. Just as a father reveals things to his growing children at the right time, at that point when they're able to receive it, God wants to do that to us. God speaks to us as a good father speaks to his children, and he's made himself available to us at all times so we can approach him with confidence. And in Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, again in the message, it says, now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. We need not fear approaching God in prayer. We pray to our Father knowing that he is King, but also knowing that he loves us and calls us his own. Yeah, we also have that inheritance, one that's guaranteed to us. We're a permanent part of God's family, and we're not merely included for a certain amount of time, but granted full sonship. And in Luke, Jesus tells us of a story of a man with two sons, one who asked for his inheritance in advance, and the father gave it to him. And the son went out and wasted it and ended up in a pigsty. Most of us know the story. Finally, the Bible says the young man came to his senses. He recognised that the pathway he'd walked had not been good and how foolish he'd been to leave home. He returned, humbled, thinking he would ask to just be a servant at his father's place. And we're just going to read it again, Luke 15, 17 to 24. In the message it says, that brought him to his senses. He said, all those farmhands working for my father sit down to three meals a day, and here I am, starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him and kissed him. The son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to his servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. And there's just some things I want to just bring out of that. You know, the father never lost hope. What's impressive about this scripture is that the son went against everything of the father's hopes, and yet the father still didn't lose hope for him. He was still constant. No matter what we've done, God doesn't give up caring about us, nor does he ever lose his vision for what our life can become in his hands. You know, the Father's always looking our way. Many people think of God as somebody who's looking for a chance to hit them with a lightning bolt or tell them off when they've done something wrong. or can be. And we can often think of God like an earthly father. If we've not had a great experience with our earthly father, we can think, oh, he's going to act like this, or he's going to act like that if I don't do something right. And this isn't God's attitude toward us. God isn't passive about the fact that we've sinned. That's why Jesus was sent to die for us. Sin has to be dealt with. We need to be sorry and repent of all those things we've done wrong. But Jesus shows us Father God's heart towards us in the story of how the Father saw his son a great way off and ran to meet him. He didn't just stand and wait for the boy to come crawling to him. Jesus tells us the Father had obviously been watching for him. He saw his son at a distance and ran to him. God's heart is always looking our way and reaching out to us. I don't know if you're as parents, you've got children. You know when your child's been away for a while. I mean, I know when Oliver used to spend time with James and he'd stay for a weekend and it just seemed like forever. It was just forever. I mean, Mum and Dad would be able to tell how it was so difficult. I'd just be looking at my phone in case James would text me to say it was all right. And it was like Friday to Sunday and it was the longest time ever. And I remember when I knew who was coming home, it was like, oh, I was so excited. I started pacing up and down thinking, is he coming here? And I got a glimpse of the Father heart of God, because when I could see him, as in Oliver coming home, I used to open the door and I'd be almost like right out there in the car, almost like, I'll get him out, because I was so wanting to see him. And I see a tiny glimpse of what God must feel. He's always looking. He's always, when are they coming back? When are they going to come and spend time with me? And he's so excited. And Oliver came back kind of completely dressed how I probably wouldn't have dressed it at all, and had, like, you know, dinner down here and everything. But it didn't matter to me. I was just like, just come here. I just want to give you a hug. And I kind of think, yeah, that's God's heart. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't care about the poo and the smelly mud on you. You've been in the pigsty. He wants you just back with him. That's his heart. And so I got a glimpse of that. But the Father's heart responds to our repentance. And the Son came with repentance, and the Father's heart responded. The Father didn't demand that the Son should grovel for acceptance, but he was glad that the Son had come to recognise the problems were his and weren't his Father's fault. How often have we heard people say, if there's a God, why does this happen to me? God gets blamed for everything, for which we don't want to accept responsibility. When the prodigal son came back, he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And repentance is turning away from our own way to God's. It's recognising the Lord's ways are great, are good and safe and secure for us. As we choose to align ourselves with him, it opens the way for him to release possibilities for our lives. He loves us with that everlasting love, unconditionally. For the release of what God wants to do in us, we have to be willing to say, Father God, I turn from my own way to yours. And the Father wants to reinstate us. When the Son did that, look what happened. The Father put the family ring on his finger, a robe over his shoulders, and shoes on his feet. The ring represents reinstatement to partnership with the Father. It was his return to being in business with Dad. God is saying through the lips of his own Son, if you'll come back to me, I will reinstate the possibilities I've had in mind for you. Just as the Father was going to re-enfranchise his Son in the family business. The robe over his shoulders went all the way down to the Son's ankles. It was a robe of dignity. It was the Father covering whatever would be the shame or nakedness of the past. Father God desires to restore us to full stature, to robe us with the beauty of what we were made to be. And shoes in that ancient culture represented an end to the time of weeping and mourning the past. Amen. I'm not reading that. And I often thought that the story of the prodigal son was about people who knew Jesus and walked away, and then they come back after doing their own thing. And, you know, I kind of got that understanding, actually. You know, we as regular churchgoers, sometimes we can get distracted by other things. And yeah, we might not necessarily wander as far as he did and get so much mucky in the pigsty, but we still wander because our focus isn't on him. And, you know, we all need to be in that close, intimate relationship with him. Some of you may even be in that, but he wants more. He wants more. There's never, ever enough. It's that desire to be so close to him. So, church, can you see what Jesus is saying to us in this parable? He's saying, this is what God is like. He wants to reinstate you to the place of partnership with him and his purpose for you. He wants to clothe you from whatever has been the embarrassment, disappointment, pain, or shame of your past, to restore the dignity of what you were made to be. He wants you to see the winter of your discontent and its tears behind you, and the springtime of his joy has come upon you. And in the New International Version of Song of Songs 2:11-13, it says this: "See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land, the fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." And this is how God feels about you. I've just got something, Angus, if you could just put on the next bit. It's called The Father's Love Letter, and a lot of people probably have seen it, but it just speaks of God's heart. It talks of scriptures of how he feels about us. So I just wondered if you could just listen to this for a few minutes, and then I'll be... It's powerful, isn't it, when we see how God sees us, how important he sees us. And there's a book actually written by Pastor Colin Urquhart, My Dear Child, and there's a piece from there called I Care For You. I just want to read that to you. "My dear child, I didn't create you to suffer at the hands of others, although I knew this to be inevitable. My son Jesus was subjected to opposition, rejection, abuse and hatred. I allowed this because I love you so much. You see, my dear child, I wanted to free you from the effects of sin, failure and fear. I wanted you to be able to receive my life, a life so real and full that you could allow yourself to love and be loved without fear of hurt or rejection. Jesus had to be vulnerable in the same way as you to make this possible. As I have watched over you and seen the hurts that have accumulated, I have longed to bring you close to Jesus. For if you are close to him, you are close to me. So don't think I have been unconcerned about your needs. I've been waiting for you to give me the time and opportunity to set you free from the things that have caused the shame and hurt you have experienced. I've spoken to you in love many times. Often you have pushed me away with what I've said. I've spoken to you through others, but you have refused to listen. So I rejoice that now you will sit at my feet and allow me to give you understanding of my love. I want to speak from my heart to your heart." And that's what I feel God wants to do. If we could have the worship team up, it'd be really good. Just to spend time with him. And I know we've spent time in his presence this morning, but I know God wants us to go deeper with him and sit at his feet and listen what his heart is for us. Listen to him and be in the Father's presence. Just sitting at his feet, listening to him, and let him speak those words of love to you as you worship. Just let him speak, into your heart.